Welcome back to the Book Wars Pod. We are doing our bonus episode number 6, and I'm laughing because Chris thought I almost knocked an entire bottle of wine over, but I didn't. Yay.
No. I didn't think you almost knocked an entire bottle of wine over. You did almost knock an entire bottle of wine over.
It's very bottom heavy right now.
It's not like it's just like in my head thinking.
It's fine.
It is, because you almost knocked it over as opposed to knocking it over.
Knocking it over would have been bad because wine is delicious.
Y'all, Chris is policing my wine again, and I don't appreciate this. God. So you know what? You can just hush while I continue my intro.
It's been a solid 3 weeks since we recorded that episode. And not a day goes by that I don't hear about it.
Okay, that is not true.
All right, that's not true, but I do hear about it more than you would think.
No, I think you hear about it the right amount that people would think.
Yeah, that's fair. It depends on if they have the correct opinion of you. Anyway, sorry.
Whatever you're imagining,
we're already off the rails.
It's a little bit more than that.
I think you have a pretty clear idea of me. Plus, like, people follow me on Twitter. Anyway, so our bonus episode number 6 is not dedicated to me screaming at Chris about my wine habits, surprisingly enough. But we are doing our evaluation of Star Wars Rebels. Today is Tuesday, March 6th, so it's the day after the season finale aired, and we'll be talking about those episodes in particular, and also just the show as a whole, as we, you know, do. How does it fit in the universe and all that good stuff. But first,
spoilers. There will be them.
I mean, we always have spoilers.
I know, but just in case people are watching, in case people are watching, or oh my god, yeah, this is a video. In case people are listening who don't normally listen because they don't normally read the books, because I know some people just listen to the bonuses if they haven't read some of the books. So I like to plug it in there that we're gonna spoil everything ever.
Oh yeah, the most.
A lot.
Hey, you can watch the pod. You can just like set up the media player on your computer and just watch the little scroll bar just go.
Yeah, that's basically like what we look like.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yes. All right. So what are we drinking, folks? Kristen?
Oh, I have some mint tea, which is delicious. And it's so hard to do it in front of the mic. and a Starburst IPA from Ecliptic, which I've had on here before, but we like Ecliptic because everything is space themed.
That's beautiful.
But yeah, okay. It's a Northwest style IPA. It's good. It's very well rounded and delicious.
Nice. I'm topping Chris off here. Whoop. Here, have one.
Thanks.
So we are drinking more Trader Joe's wine because this is our lives. So
Trader Joe's has good wine. I stand by this decision.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Penelonco. I said that super wrong because I don't know Spanish, so I apologize to literally everyone. It's a Carmenere from Chile, and it is delicious. It's got a lion on it.
Ooh, yum.
Yeah.
Love lions. Not eating them, but it sounded like I love to eat them. That's not true.
I don't know
Kristen,
why.
Noted eater of lions.
I don't know why that sounded like that to you, but okay.
You're just like one of the Trump kids where you just go big game hunting?
Because you said it has a lion on it, and I went, I meant, to the wine. Not to the lions.
It's Tuesday, as we can all tell. All right.
Yeah. The most dangerous game.
All right. So.
And I watched Rebels this morning at like 6 a.m. So we're doing great here.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't know when we're dropping this yet. So probably either this week or next week, depending on me doing the thing.
Correct. All right. Shall we actually dive into discussion?
Let's shall.
All right. Fucking A.
There you go, Kristen. Ugh. Proud of you.
Gross. Shut up, Chris. All right.
You truly are my daughter.
Cedarisms.
You said that in such a creepy way. Oh my god.
It's just how my voice goes.
Oh my god, I just almost had so much tea come out of my nose. That was uncalled for. All of that.
All right. So while we're just hashtag scared, I just, as usual, I like to get all of the feels out of the way up front. So we're saying goodbye to Rebels after 4 seasons. So first of all, how did we feel about the finale? Do we think it was a fitting send-off? What did we like? What didn't we like? I didn't like that the season was so fucking rushed, but whatever.
Yeah, the pacing was way off, I felt like, this season. I actually really liked the finale as a whole. I am somebody who is a sucker for like epilogues where everybody lives happily ever after, so I really enjoyed that.
Are you the person I know who actually likes the Harry Potter epilogue?
Yes.
Ugh.
As we noted in our Tosche Station reactions to the Rebels finale, I am like the only person. I believe I said in that write-up, don't at me, Kate.
I'm getting a divorce. This is disgusting.
But no, I really liked it. I feel like people have... I've talked to enough people that, like, people know I am solidly mixed on Rebels in general. I think it has had very high highs and very low lows.
Much like the Clone Wars, honestly.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little more later.
We'll talk about that a little more later. I think there are definitely differences. But I thought that the finale was a very good send-off to what the show is and what its intended purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
What was the show's intended purpose?
I think it was a kid show more than the Clone Wars was. I think it was very much intended to be the show that brings a new audience into Star Wars.
Absolutely. I mean, we, for better or for worse, as much as it drives people crazy, people meaning me, Ezra is the main character. You know, this is very firmly Ezra's story and the story of how he finds family, because obviously the Ghost Crew is all about found family. And in that sense, yeah, I feel like the finale was successful. I think it left enough open for other creators to explore, and I hope it's other creators and not just Filoni. But I also thought it tied up a lot of the loose ends, maybe not in ways that people quite enjoyed. I like Jason Syndulla. This is like, basically I watched the show. I mean, I watched the show for Star Wars reasons, but I also like definitely just like, it was 50% Star Wars reasons and 50% Kinnera. And so I was very happy with this finale solely because Kinnera wound up where I wanted them to be. I mean, preferably I would have liked Kanan to be not dead, but other than that, like, I think it helped reframe a lot of the problems that I had with their relationship in the back half of the 4th season.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, it's a kid's show. I thought it did a good job being a kid's show and being accessible to kids.
Totally.
Which I think is important, and I think we'll talk about that more later, but I don't know why my first point in bidding Rebels farewell is, go away, Palpatine, why are you always around? But for some reason, I thought that was Kristen, the appropriate place to put that.
Kristen, that's not what the outline says. I'm going to need you to read your comment from the outline.
I said, OMFG, go away, poopy, why are you always around?
Thank you.
I wrote. Which is how I felt about him showing up to fight. I mean, of course he showed up to make Ezra try to do stupid things like he always does, but at least he didn't make this stupid decision like he usually does.
It's true. He's definitely got one up on Anakin in that sense now, doesn't he?
Oh my god.
He resisted exactly one attempt by the Emperor to corrupt him.
You know what?
One thing I really did love about the finale that I wish we had gotten more of in the series was that we finally got some character development from Ezra.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Like, it feels like we haven't gotten any from him for the entire series. And then this episode, he grew up in front of our eyes.
So I think I'm pretty famous on Twitter for always all caps screaming. Well, always all caps screaming, period. But also always...
I was
going
to say, is there an end?
Always all caps screaming about how Ezra frustrates me as a character because his character development seems so stunted. And one of my frustrations is that in season one, I do see character development in him. You know, he starts off as this really selfish pickpocket on the streets of Lothal. He's an orphan. and he gets almost literally thrown into this new family, even though, I mean, he's still a kid. Like, the fact that his parents have been disappeared by the Empire is still absolutely raw for him, and it's probably going to be for the rest of his life just by nature of the fact of he lost them when he was so young. And I thought that we did see character growth from him in episodes like Call to Action, where he does that radio transmission that similar to the way his parents used to do radio transmission, speaking out against the Empire. And I also think we got character development from him during Legacy in season 2, when he finally finds out that his parents are dead. And like, the third episode where I see growth from him is probably Steps in the Shadow, and then the episode after it, which I can't remember what the hell it's called, but it's him, you know, really strongly exploring the dark side and then rejecting it. But other than those three episodes, I'm just sitting here like, why are you such a dumb dummy? Like, there are so many people out there who love Ezra, and I feel really bad that I just, like, can't make myself like him as a character, but I don't. And it really felt to me like there was just too much time between, you know, those points of Ezra's character development. And so I was just left kind of waiting around being like, when are you gonna, like, wisen the fuck up, sort of thing, you know? And we did finally get the finale, absolutely. And like, that scene was like, I think the ending scenes where, like, he, you know, he refuses to take Palpatine's out, and he does sacrifice himself with the Purgles. I thought that was like pretty much the only point where I was like, Ezra, you're an all right guy, you know?
Yeah, and when I jumped into the when he made Sabine, oh my god, words are so hard. When he made Sabine distract everybody when he ran away in a good way.
Yeah, it was more of a subtle episode with things like that than we've seen from Rebels.
I know, that's what I really what I wanted out of Rebels, like, this whole time. Like, things like that, instead of being hammered over the head with shit like fucking Ahsoka's Gandalf kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think in terms of, and Kate, you and I have talked a lot about this ourselves, is just, at the end of the day, the show wasn't for us. At the end of the day, it was a show for children. And yes, there are sophisticated children's shows out there. Don't at me. But this was a show for children to bring children into the Star Wars fandom who were too young to remember the prequels.
Absolutely. And I mean, Ezra is a character who is created on purpose. He's completely outside this world. He holds himself apart both from getting involved with the Empire, and he doesn't realize he's a Jedi, and he is literally introduced to all of these things, and he's the viewer. Like, he's those kids who are watching the show. Mm-hmm. So
for sure. I think we're gonna talk a little bit more about this later when we talk about Star Wars animation. But the point I just, if you wanna know more about stuff that's not for us, but that we consume, you can listen to our bonus with Poppy Ash, right, that we did some weeks ago. I don't, it was a bonus, what number bonus was it?
Number 5.
Oh, okay, it was the bonus before this one. Okay, sorry, Poppy. But we talk a lot about young adult fiction and what that means and why it's not for us and why we read it, you know, because of that sometimes.
Totally. But despite the show not, you know, us not being the intended audience, let's talk about what the show does actually contribute to the universe, which is quite a lot when you think about it, especially when you think about the final season and how it connects to other things in the first season. So I've sketched out some broad themes, but we can also bounce around with other things. But my first one is, you know, what does it mean to be a Jedi? And I think we've seen that really redefined over the course of Rebels, especially with Kanan and his, you know, his attitude toward the Force and being connected with it and having attachments and following the Jedi Code and all that good stuff. So,
yeah, one thing that I think, and we'll talk in a minute about the differences between how we see the Force in Rebels versus The Last Jedi, but one thing that I think we see very similarly in Rebels and in Last Jedi and Ezra and in Rey is that you can be a Jedi without adhering to the Jedi dogma. And that you can be a Jedi and have a family. And whether it's a genetic family, like Kanan now has his, you know, posthumous child, as Kate cries. or just friends. And we see that from Ezra, who would die for any of his friends. We see it for Rey, who has essentially sacrificed herself many times for Finn's safety and the safety of the Resistance. And that lack of attachment that the Jedi promotes so dogmatically it's just not present here. It's not something that Kanan taught Ezra. It's certainly not something Ezra learned, and it's not something that Rey learned either.
I mean, he doesn't, because so I've been spending all my time since Kanan died just watching like sad tribute videos on YouTube because I have no fucking life. And there are absolutely places where Kanan talks to Ezra about sacrifice and what that means to him personally, especially in light of what happened to his master, and how he multiple times almost loses Ezra, either, you know, to like during Fire Across the Galaxy, where he thinks Ezra's died, or Steps in the Shadow, where he's worried that Ezra's going to go over to the dark side. There are all kinds of times where Kanan's afraid that he's losing Ezra. But one of the, I mean, you know, the whole theme of the back half of the season has been one last lesson. And why Ezra hasn't learned this lesson before, after being like hammered over the head with it numerous times, I don't fucking understand. But anyway, the lesson is, you know, that the kind of this core tenet of the Jedi, which is, you know, have compassion for all things, but understand that nothing is forever and you have to let things go. And, you know, he finally gets there.
How much of that do you think was because he was one Padawan? I mean, I don't even know if we want to call him a Padawan, but
he is.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I just mean, like, when does Padawanism cease to exist? without the council, right?
I think Kanan calls him his Padawan.
Oh, does he? I don't pay attention to things.
really?
Yeah. But, I mean, how much do you think that's, like, a function of... I mean, we see Ahsoka in the Clone Wars learning lessons. Not dissimilarly. I mean, she's at a much younger age than we see Ezra as here, I think. She's pretty young, right? Kristen
pretty,
asks,
pretty
how
close.
Old is everyone?
Ahsoka's 14 when she becomes Anakin's Padawan.
So she's actually a little younger than Ezra.
Yeah. Right? Does that math make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. thanks. But she's also surrounded by Jedi and Padawans and that whole thing. So, you know, she's not just learning from Anakin. She's learning a ton from Obi, and she's learning a ton from Yoda, and she's learning a ton from the Jedi Temple being there and having texts and blah, 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 and all of her dogmatic upbringing, obviously. Oh my God, I never thought I would be defending Ezra. I'm going to jump out the window. but I mean, I think, you know, that none of that can be, there's a reason that Palpatine wanted to destroy that, right? And it's because it's so, you know, kind of necessary for the way that Jedi fancy themselves, you know, to be raised up in that kind of manner.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's obviously a huge difference between being surrounded by that kind of environment and, you know, Kanan, who never finishes training, kind of willy-nilly throwing milk cartons at Ezra's head to start with, you know?
For sure.
And so, I'm like meaning for this to be a question with a yes or no answer, but I feel like we're going to wind up talking about it for 50 minutes, which is fine too. But Is this, like, what happens in the finale? Is that Ezra's Jedi trials? Is he really a Jedi now?
I don't know. He lost his lightsaber again.
Nice.
I don't think it matters.
It's so hard to tell because there was just such a lack of character development before that.
I think it's meant to be. I think he's meant to be.
I think it's meant to. I agree. I think it's meant. I think it's one last lesson.
Right.
I do think it's meant to be.
Even though it just that just
I don't know. Yeah.
Feel inside, but you know.
I don't know that it was done well, but I do think it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I think perhaps they're trying to move away from that model because I don't know that we'll ever see Rey go through any kind of trials.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, like, the trials kind of became metaphorical for the Jedi. Or, right. Not metaphorical, rather, but they weren't, like, a structured, you know, sit down and take a fucking test. Right, Chris?
I actually don't know.
I'm only extrapolating from how Obi-Wan graduated to become a knight. Like, they considered him dealing with Maul and losing his master and all of that to mm-hmm. be his trials.
And Anakin.
Yes, that's too. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Anakin's trials were... This is no longer canon, but in the Cartoon Network Clone Wars shorts.
Oh, God.
It was decided that that facing Ventress for the first time was his trials.
Right, and Ahsoka being wrongly accused, like, Yoda was about to make her a knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I honestly don't know that we know enough, certainly within the canon, about what goes into the trials. I mean, Yoda thought that Luke's trial was to beat Vader, which seems like it's a high bar.
compared to facing Ventress for the first time.
Yeah, or compared to, like, taking a test like the rest of the fucking Padawans likely had to. Like, that, okay, one of the strongest Force users of all time. Just take him down. Go get him. Champ.
Well, whatever. I just want like a fucking encyclopedia that's just like, is there like a Jedi like order handbook like from the olden days they can write? Like, I actually do want.
Yeah, there literally is like a Jedi code handbook.
That shit ain't canon though.
Yeah, it is.
Wait, it is?
It's new. It's newish.
Oh.
What the cool. hell?
I mean, it's like, you know how like back before all the Harry Potter spinoffs became horrible, like there were like those two random, like one of them was Fantastic Beasts and then there was like a Quidditch Through the Ages book or some shit.
Yeah.
There's like a Jedi code one and a Sith something one.
Oh, cool.
They're like very short.
Man, the Sith don't know how to read. That's fake.
they even like in the style of the Harry Potter ones, they've got like notes from like all these motherfuckers.
Oh, cool.
I don't want fucking Count Dooku writing in the margins of my book, man.
Right.
I want to do a bonus episode on those. Those are books. Sorry.
They are, in fact, books.
We don't have to. I can edit this out.
We can. Sure. Why not?
Whatever.
They're very short.
I'm always trying to do bonus episodes in the future. Future, I mean, problems for Kristen.
I mean, samesies.
The only reason I'm bringing them up is because this is when Rian Johnson just, like, made that dude on the internet take the L. When, like, he was like, where is, like, you completely made up, like, the...
Oh, shit. True.
The force projection thing, and then it was in this book.
You can't see me right now.
I was wondering what
I'm
book that was.
You can't see me right now, but I'm doing fucking dance. Sorry, go, Kiki.
Dance, dance, dance. No, I was just, what I had seen that on Twitter, but I had no idea where that was coming from, and that's my level of intellectual curiosity. I guess.
I'm sorry, I'm just like laughing, just like deep in my soul about quote Rian Johnson making this bro on Twitter take the L.
I mean, yeah, that's what had happened.
It's beautiful.
I'm pretty sure this is the same exchange when dude was like, what happened? It didn't make any sense. And Rian Johnson was like, it seems like it made sense to a lot of people. Maybe you just didn't get it.
That was lovely.
I love Rian Johnson has just truly, like, really, just truly impressive levels of shade.
Drag him, Rian.
Really, really British levels of shade. He, like, you know, they filmed this in the UK, he has really British levels of shade.
That is a high compliment,
sir. I know. I'm aware.
Love it. I love it.
Speaking of Rian Johnson, I'm going to move us forward a little bit. And I really want to get Rian Johnson and Dave Filoni, like, in a cage and make them, like, cage match about what the nature of the Force is. Because they do not agree.
Lobster knife fight.
Yes. Lobster knife fight. Name one lobster, Rian Johnson. Name the other lobster, Dave Filoni.
Y'all, by the way, if you haven't seen the lobster knife fight meme from, like, the mid-2000s, please just Google lobster knife fight because it's actually kind of funny. It's really stupid. Anyway. Anyway, we mentioned this quite a bit on our bonus episodes discussing Lost Jedi. So that was our bonus episodes 3 and 4. But I just wanted to quickly return to this in light of what we've learned from the last few episodes of Rebels. And I know, Kristen, you were mentioning, you know, that world, the world between worlds, and that freaky space where you can just, I don't know, time travel and weird ass shit. So yeah, let's talk.
Yeah, as I do, I instead of writing real points in the outline, I write like what I would say, which is, I guess we're time traveling now, except maybe not. Is that only on Lothal? Is what I wrote.
I think that's a good question though, because it.
Well, especially because the temple's destroyed.
Right, but the. For me, the appearance of multiple doorways kind of suggested to me that there are multiple ways to get into there.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't know how one does that if you have to be at all those places that, what's his name, that bent over old man who was fucking ragging on Sabine, that he was pointing out.
Oh, that yeah, who the fuck was that guy?
Mr. Some Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know, I didn't like, he had a weird hat.
Yes.
Otherwise known as a hood. Oh, it's my takeaway.
Okay, but it like wasn't a hood. It looked weird. It was real weird.
It was a weird situation.
It was a weird, like, it was like sort of a cardinal hat and sort of a hood. Anyway, sorry.
That's always my takeaway.
I don't know. But yeah, he was talking about all how the artwork of the Mortis gods, like, they've been found in other. I think he specified Jedi temples. I don't know if you looked at Sith temples, if you would find those also. But it just makes me wonder, like, are all those actually secretly portals? And if you just boop them correctly and use the Force, will it open up a weird portal to this crazy in-between place? I don't know.
Well, we know that one of... I don't think that they're place-specific, because we know that one of them was showing Kanan's last moments, and that was at the factory on Lothal.
So maybe it's these like, kind of... I'm gonna use I think it's a legend's term now. So it's showing shatter points is what it's showing.
Potentially.
Hmm.
I don't know. And this is very unlike me because I'm a canon defender. But this is one of those things where I think you need to accept that it's a kid show and accept that it's all fake and in space. And for me, I'm like, not looking for future shows to prove the existence of the world between worlds. I see it more as a storytelling device for, oh, of course, the Force intersects all things and all times. Of course, there's like a way within the Force to move in ways that are unnatural. And I just saw this as a storytelling mechanic to get that point across. I don't necessarily think we're going to see this ever again. Although it's Filoni, so who knows? Maybe we will.
It's more literal than you think it is, just because we've seen it in Rebels before. I'm not the one who figured this out. It was somebody I saw on Twitter. It might have been 1138. But if you go back to, I think it's season 2, where Kanan and Ezra go to the Jedi Temple at the point where Ezra receives his lightsaber crystal, the space in which he's talking to Yoda is the world between worlds. If you kind of like look in the background, you can... He, like, because Ezra doesn't really realize where he is, and he's not as powerful in the Force or as developed as a Jedi yet, he can't really make out anything. But if you look in the background, you can kind of see those white outlined pathways and all those swirling patterns and things like that.
That makes sense. I'm going to kind of take the middle ground, as I often do in stuff like this, because I find it exhausting to take... hardline stances on things that are still in progress, such as the Star Wars canon. Excuse me. But and also I know I don't know shit about shit, so I always like to remember that.
Oh, please.
But I don't know, I just like really though, like, I'm like, I like to have an open mind about things that are coming, and I love Star Wars, and I want to continue to love Star Wars.
That's a good.
Yeah, but what I was gonna say was I don't mind that these two ideas of the Force are coexisting, because I mean, everything we know from Yoda is that we can't understand the Force other than it's in everything and everyone. And of course there's shit that might seem incongruous, but yeah, I mean, I think, like, I get what you guys are saying, like, it's canon, so we're trying to make it all make sense, and that's the point of this podcast, but I'm like, it's the Force, it's weird. Maybe I'm just gonna let it be weird and not try to overthink it.
I mean, that's fair enough. As you know, I love word for shit. Like, the weirder it gets, the happier I am. So mm-hmm. I was quite pleased with The World Between Worlds. I was just like, it was really hilarious, because for the past 3 weeks, we've had Bria of Tashi Station at Chaos Bria on Twitter come over to watch with us. And she and I have had exactly opposite reactions to all the weird for shit. So it's been really, really fun to see, like, our different opinions just very viscerally. Like, me being like, oh my god, that's so cool. And her just kind of lying on the floor being like, why is this happening to me? So, anyway. No, I mean, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they negotiate this place where both... quote-unquote, I guess, models of the Force and how it's balanced, how those coexist, especially since I feel like Filoni's very obviously going to get another animated series, and of course Ryan's doing another series of movies, so we'll see how that goes. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
It's going to be really cool. I think it's going to be awesome. All right, so this is just kind of a random question that I want to throw out there, but Rebels regresses... And I guess the Ahsoka novel by E.K. Johnson, which we read on some past episodes, I can't remember. They address a little bit what happens to Force-sensitive kids in the galaxy under the Empire, where there's no Jedi Order to train them. And it seems like some of them get kidnapped by the Empire to be turned into Inquisitors or some other kind of super soldier. And other ones to just stay really, really hidden. And I kind of just wonder what the implications are for Jason Syndulla in light of all that, because he doesn't really have... If he's Force-sensitive, which we have no idea if he is or not, like, who trains you? Is it dangerous if you're untrained? Like, what do you do with that? Because Kanan's dead, Ezra's hanging out with space whales, and Ahsoka is big giant question mark, which we'll talk about later. So, yeah, I just kind of wonder what becomes of those children.
Yeah, I don't know.
Theories. I mean, obviously we don't know, but just, you know, thoughts.
I really, and this is my personal headcanon, I really don't want Jason Syndulla to be Force sensitive.
Me too!
I love the Skywalker saga, and I don't want the Force to be a genetic thing.
I agree with, I mean... Then again, I mean,
I know, midichlorians, I know, but like, but I don't want the Force to be hereditary 100% of the time. Like, it has been so far with a sample size of one, so that's fine.
Yay.
But like, I want him to take after Hera. I want him to be like a badass pilot and grow up with Poe. And, like, be adjacent to all these, like, heroes and Force users, but not actually be a Force user.
I need him and Poe to be friends. I definitely agree with that. For, you know, so the story reasons you stated, but also the selfish reason that, you know, we know Luke founds a new Jedi Academy, and whether or not, if Jason were Force sensitive, whether or not he'd be involved in that, we don't really know. But then, this is where kind of the fandom diverges a little bit, where part of them are like, oh no, but like, what if Kylo kills him that night where he just, you know, fucks shit up for Luke? And then the other, on the other side of that coin is the people who want him to be a Knight of Ren. And I'm like, I want neither of these fucking things, guys. Come on.
I just want him to be in the rebellion.
Same.
Yeah, I just want him to be off on some spy mission or, like, being an emissary to Ryloth or something. Although Ryloth would never accept him.
Oh,
they're far too racist on Ryloth.
They are, but Cham would be such a good grandpa.
He'd be a good grumpy grandpa.
He'd be a great, like people who are questionable parents are often good grandparents for whatever reason. So I feel like James is one of those. Yeah. Anyway, I will just conclude that useless point that we don't know the answer to by saying all I want is to make a little time for myself to write some Grandpa Cham fanfic, because that sounds adorable to me. But anyway.
Good broccoli baby fanfic.
Such a good broccoli baby. Okay, just a personal aside. I got people on social media calling this child ugly, and I'm like, you don't talk shit about my precious broccoli son, because I will fucking find you.
He's so cute.
He's so precious. He's just a little cherub, and he has Kanan's weird eyebrows, and he has green eyelashes, and it's adorable.
Furthermore, he's an animated child. If you feel the need to call an animated child ugly, you should really re-examine your priorities.
Also, like, what do you think about real children? Because newborns are hideous.
Yeah.
They're
just the really fresh ones.
Yeah, I know. They just look like sacks of skin fold. Anyway.
They are. That's what they are.
I know. All right. Anyway, moving on to things that we can actually discuss in an intelligent manner, maybe. So let's talk about Filoni, specifically how he tells stories and how his first animated series, The Clone Wars, differs from Rebels. And I've got a first point here where I just kind of dive in with my opinion. And should I just go for it? Or
I don't disagree with it, so go.
All right.
Even if you did disagree with it, Chris, I don't think that would be a reason for Kate not to go. But go ahead, Kate.
Thank you, Kristen. Wow, what a good daughter. As Chris just like looks at me like, what are you gonna say about me right now? What are you gonna say about me? Anyway,
there's a stare down happening.
I'm quitting the pod.
Take a shot.
I know, right? So originally I was gonna do this whole write up for Tashi Station about this, and then I realized that I'm a lazy fuck, so maybe I won't do this and I'll just rant right now instead. I really do see Star Wars Rebels in a lot of ways as a failure of storytelling on Filoni's part. And let me explain. I think Brian points out in the post that Tashi Station Radio put up about all of our reactions to Rebels and the finale and everything. He pointed out that this is a show that really kind of suffers from an identity crisis. Is it a story that's telling us about the rebellion? Is it supposed to be a direct sequel to the Clone Wars and tie into all of that? And yeah, I completely agree with that thought. I think that the places where the story suffers most often, I think, is when Filoni doesn't really follow through on it being either. He brings in all this weird force shit. He'll bring back characters like Ahsoka more than once, save her from the dead, all this other stuff. And he has said in interviews that he sees, or he saw, I guess, well, the show's fucking over now, so whatever. But he saw Rebels as a place where he could really tie up a lot of the Clone Wars storylines, because for those who don't know or forgot, the Clone Wars got canceled before it was actually ever over, whereas Rebels had the chance to actually wrap up organically, and how comfortable that wrapping up is up for debate. But anyway, yeah, in a lot of ways it definitely did feel like he couldn't choose a project, and it was a frustrating thing, because I think that's where we get this clash between world building and force mythology development and character development. And that was so frustrating for me.
Yeah, and I think this wasn't the right medium for a lot of the stuff that he wanted to do. And he was just trying to kind of, you know, square peg round hole things in there.
Ooh, talk more about that. Like, what did you feel wasn't a good fit?
I mean, like, I think just the medium itself, plus like them being 22-minute episodes, it's hard to get in a lot of, like, I always felt like I didn't have enough like fact, especially like around the Force stuff, which isn't surprising. I think we see that a lot in Star Wars, but a lot of times we'll get like more concrete snippets, and like there won't be so much stuff up for debate because it'll be explained a little bit better. And I think a lot of the stuff with the Force is like not necessarily well suited for like a show for 10-year-olds. Like, I mean, it's all about like death and dying and life and how all that stuff is connected. And like, while I totally think that kids are very well suited to understand that, sometimes it's not appropriate. Like, we're talking about Kanan and Hera having sex, which they definitely did, obviously, because they have a child. And also, but also just like, there's a, just a lot of like really kind of deep shit that I think they could have gotten into that was like really philosophical that isn't quite age appropriate.
And, you know, I think a lot of that is right. I think there are, but I think there are ways to talk about philosophical stuff in a way that kids will understand. But as you were saying, I don't think the format really lent itself to that, like you said, because it's such a short span of space in which you can let these ideas breathe and give them the room that they really need for kids to think about it. Because, I mean, they're kids. They've probably never encountered these ideas before in any great depth.
Yeah. Just, can I put out one point of clarity?
Please.
I'm mostly just saying that I think Filoni wanted to do more with it, and it was not the appropriate medium to do so. Like, he was trying to do stuff that probably would have worked better had he had a little bit more time and space. I don't want to, like, shit on kids. I think kids are smart, and kids can get stuff. But I think Filoni wasn't quite ready to fully embrace that like he could have. Mm-hmm. I think if you fully embraced that, then it could have been really, really good and different, and the Force stuff could have been a little bit more fleshed out, and we could understand a little bit more, or even have more to question, but, you know, just have a little bit more of a concrete understanding of what he was going for, other than like allegory, which is like what it seems like.
Yeah,
at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And we're going to talk more about this in a second, but I especially think that the nature of Rebels being a serial story, it tells like one linear story about the Ghost Crew versus something like the Clone Wars, which, you know, they had specific character and story arcs. Not really character. I don't mean character arcs. I mean story arcs. Where, you know, there were these self-contained stories that obviously all fit together in the series, but I think just being able to like put bookends on that was really important, as opposed to, because now it just kind of feels like the Force shit is a little bit willy-nilly. I don't know. Maybe that's just my personal feeling. What, Chris?
It's just to go back to Kristen's point, it's just so weird to me that Filoni didn't do that well, though, because, like, didn't balance the problems of being a kid show and dealing with serious shit. Because if you want to see a great example of a show that did that, go back and look at the Clone Wars. Like, the Clone Wars did that so well. And, like,
right, but I think knowing that you were doing a show in a style where you would have 3 or 4 or even 5 episodes to explore a thing, that gave you a through line and enough space in that number of in a certain number of episodes, so you knew you had X amount of time. It's supposed to, like, here's 22 minutes, go.
Yeah, but do we really think that? I don't know. I don't know that I believe that they wouldn't have given Filoni more episodes if he wanted them.
I mean, okay, I can talk like Lucasfilm conspiracy theories about this. And I don't think I want to do that.
Yeah, that sounds like a can of worms we don't want to open.
Yeah, so I'm not going to do that.
All right, fair. Withdrawn.
I don't know. I will say that I think one episode where they really successfully explored really serious subject matter and did give it the right amount of space was, like, as a self-contained episode, I think Doom was really good in just showing kids and, like, having the characters have that room, and honestly for the rest of us to have all those different ways of mourning Kanan, and just giving us the time to mourn Kanan with the characters. And while I think I don't know that I would have wanted more time with everybody being sad, because that's not who the characters are, but I think I would have wanted that extended a little bit more than we saw it being. Like, they mentioned him. They mentioned Kanan, like, we're doing this for Kanan, etc. But anyway, I do think Doom was successful in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I hope that Lucasfilm is smart and thinking like Kate and would not have given him more Rebels episode, because I don't think he could have written himself out of the first four seasons of weird storytelling.
Yeah, I think you're
honestly. Right. Oh no, sorry. I don't mean at the end of Rebels. I mean in the planning stages. I think there's no reason it couldn't have been planned out differently to tell those stories.
Oh, I see.
Sorry, that was what I meant. I don't mean that Lucasfilm ended Rebels because conspiracy theories. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, I just meant that if they were on, we never know whether or not they're on the fence about another season or not, but I think if I were Lucasfilm, I also would not give him another season of this particular show.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. This show was, it ended on a high note where it needed to end.
Right, but I also think that if you had taken, I don't know about taking out a few episodes, but just like condensed storylines, I think that Ezra's characterization would have been a smoother arc, and I wouldn't have been so frustrated with his character, and I wouldn't have been so frustrated with a lot of the pacing and the storyline decisions that they made. Other things wouldn't have been saved, but like I think a lot of things would have, personally.
Yeah, and this is where we don't know quite. I mean, you guys probably do because you read more shit than I do about everything, but I don't know like how many seasons he was promised up front. I don't know whether or not he was waiting to get renewed at the end of any season, etc., etc. So, I mean, that's part of being on TV, I suppose.
Right. It's an interesting question because we know the year that in the Star Wars universe, that is like what year in the Star Wars universe Rebels starts, and we know that he wanted to wrap it up before Scarif. So I don't know, like, could it have gone another season? I mean, timeline wise, yeah, probably, but should it have? Definitely not.
Yeah, I mean, particularly because it seems pretty clear that they wanted to keep it about Lothal, which was a storytelling choice that I know a lot of people didn't necessarily agree with. But if it was going to stay being about Lothal, then it wouldn't have made sense for it to go into next year.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like I keep saying, it was Ezra's story. Of course it was going to be about Lothal. All right. Should we move along?
Yes.
Let's then talk about the nature, I guess, of Clone Wars versus Rebels. So, as I was saying, the Clone Wars is an anthology series and Rebels is more of a serial. So we have episodic, self-contained stories versus, you know, just an ongoing story that's told across four seasons. And we get some, like, I don't know, like, mini arcs in there, I suppose, in Rebels, you know, with Sabine and the Darksaber and things like that. But for the most part, it really is just one smooth through line. What do we think Filoni's more successful at? What are the pros and cons of both? Which one of those series came off better to you?
I mean, I don't think it's controversial to say that the overall quality of Clone Wars was higher.
Yeah, once they got George Lucas out of there, like, doing weird fuck shit, I think, yeah, totally. Like, oh, also, once they started actually putting the fucking episodes in chronological order, Kristen, you and I scream about this constantly.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the first season of Clone Wars is rough, but
the
rest of it...
The first two seasons!
First two seasons. But...
Two and a half, actually.
Fair.
Honestly.
It's like right up until the Mortis arc, basically.
No,
or past the Mortis arc, depending on how you feel about it. I know that that's a controversial arc in the fandom, too.
But I think Mandalore comes first, and that's where I'm like, oh. Fair. I kind of perk up, and I'm like, I'm interested now.
Fair.
But I also...
Yeah, Kate was basically like, stick with it until Mandalore. And if you don't like it after Mandalore, you can stop watching. Exactly. But I feel like you're going to start being obsessed with it. And she was right.
Yes.
But no, I mean, to get back to my point, though, I think that I almost feel like Filoni was given a little too much storytelling freedom in this one. And I feel like he does better when he has structure. And to your point about the future of Star Wars animation, Kate, it seems fairly written on the wall that he is going to be running
whatever
something. He is going to be running something in the Star Wars universe, whether or not that's the next animation, whether or not they give him a live action show. It doesn't feel in the cards that they would give him a movie because they already have two separate series happening. But regardless of what form it takes, he's very clearly going to be involved. And I hope that he's, you know, obviously creative freedom is very important. He should be allowed to do whatever he wants to do. But outside of the overall story, I think he could use a little structure.
What do you mean by structure? Like, what structure do you think he had when he was doing the Clone Wars that wasn't present when he did Rebels?
I think that the Clone Wars was driven by...
Because I'm like, it kind of makes it sound like they gave him parameters or something, which I don't think is true.
No, I don't think that's true. I more mean, I think in Rebels, he was very much just allowed to tell... Like, there were episodes that didn't relate to anything else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the serial storytelling. Like, it was one story, but you had the fucking, like, Ask Morrigan episodes.
They were related to things, though. Allegedly. I mean, they were supposed...
Yes, they were supposed to be.
But, okay.
But the more structured, like, story arc model of the Clone Wars, in which, like, every 3 to 4 episodes would be a story arc, and it would tell a longer story, I thought he was better at. I think that his sense of pacing didn't do a lot of favors to Rebels, and his sense of pacing within episodes and trying to fit entire storylines into episodes didn't do him any favors here.
Right, it's this weird case with Rebels where it felt rushed and too fucking long at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
which is hard to do.
He did it though.
There were episodes where 22 minutes dragged on.
Yeah, and then there were some where I was like, oh shit, that's it.
Yeah, so. Totally. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, on the one hand, you have like something like the Iron Squadron, and on the other hand, oh god. On the other hand, you have something like, oh god, I don't even know.
Probably Zero Hour.
Zero Hour, I think, is one.
Fire Across the Galaxy.
Fire Across the Galaxy.
Those are kind of the two universally highly regarded episodes.
I think, I mean, maybe I'm biased because I love Ahsoka, but at least in terms of pacing, Twilight of the Apprentice is a perfect episode. And I think maybe that's because
it's two episodes.
Right, so.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your point.
No, I was going to say that. That's exactly right.
When I think back to what I love about the Clone Wars, I think it's like some of the arcs, right? I mean, it's a couple standalone episodes, sure. But I mean, I think it's kind of a unique, I mean, fuck do I know? I'm thinking back to like children's, you know, kids shows when I was a kid, and they were all basically like episodic in nature, and there were, you know, every once in a while, once or twice a year, there would be like a two-parter and it was a big fucking deal. But otherwise, it was like, you know, there were constant themes running through things and there was characterization. But, you know, I'm thinking like, Hey Arnold and like Rugrats. I mean, I was a big Nickelodeon watcher because we did not have the Disney Channel. But I didn't do a lot of like Saturday morning cartoon watching, where I know like things tend to be a little bit more serial when we're talking about like superheroes, is that correct? Sort, someone who knows things,
sort of. It's usually, I mean, I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I think that's a perfectly legit frame of reference, and I think that holds true with cartoons like even now.
Well, I'm just thinking of like other, because people like wouldn't necessarily I don't think people would necessarily put like Hey Arnold and Rugrats in the same category as Rebels.
Well,
I think Rebels would fit more in like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle,
well,
whatever, Superman, Pokemon bullshit.
Well, you say that, but in terms of storytelling, I think what children's cartoons usually do, and you know, somebody who knows more about cartoons can come like punch me in the face about this, the following comment, but
don't punch Kate.
I punch back. It seems to me that within a single season, you have like one big major villain. And while the episodes are, you know, episodic, like you say, and they're usually self-contained stories, they usually have like a little seed in them that gets you closer to that big bad villain, or, you know, weakens them somehow, or you have, or you're fighting against like an associate of the big bad villain or something like that. I am literally, Chris, you'll appreciate this, I am literally thinking of motherfucking Jackie Chan Adventures, where you would have...
Oh my god, that show was so good!
Listen though, because like you would, because like, okay, this is the most ridiculous, this thing. So what was the villain in like the first season? Was the giant fucking evil dragon, right?
Shendu.
Yeah, it was the giant fucking evil dragon, and he had to collect all these like magical talismans of the zodiac to like be able to defeat this giant fucking evil dragon. So every episode was him dealing with trying to find these magical artifacts, but at the end of the season, like, to get closer and closer to the big bad guy. And then by the end of the season, then he was like, yes, I'm ready. Like, so it's kind of that, kind of like that. Like, it's kind of both at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that's what I liked about the Clone Wars, is that it kind of did that, whereas Rebels did not. Really.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think Clone Wars kind of had something for everybody. Like, it was very much, like, if you wanted to pick up one show, you could. But also, like, I mean, I'm thinking towards the end of the series, chronologically, those arcs tended to get longer. Like, the Order 66 arcs, how many episodes was that? Like, five?
It was a lot.
Or something like that.
It was a bunch.
Yeah, it was, like, five or six. I think it was the longest arc in the... in a series.
It's pretty fucking long, yeah.
But, like, I love that. I mean, that's my favorite arc, and then because my husband fives, but whom I love and adore and will forever be mourning. But, I mean, on that note, do I wish that the Clone Wars would have been finished better? Yes. Do I think the Clone Wars needs to come back? No.
Yeah.
A memoir by Kristen.
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
we went off about this in another episode. I don't remember which one, but
yeah. I'm gonna backpedal for 5 seconds, and then I'm gonna let you talk about that because I think that's really important to talk about.
Yeah.
I just want to say that, like, for you know, a kid's cartoon, like the formula I was describing, I think it had elements of that, but it didn't really follow it successfully. Maybe that's why it felt so weird. You know, like season one, it was like the big bad guy was a Grand Inquisitor, and then like sticking it to Governor Price sort of thing. But then as the seasons went on, you know, that person became Thrawn, and then Thrawn wasn't really in it enough to hit for him to, like, for you to feel that urgency in every episode. And so, I don't know, I was, it got weird, basically.
Yeah, and also if you're like us and you come at things from, like, a full canon perspective, like, we're like, oh my god, where is Thrawn? They should be worried about Thrawn all of the time. Fuck, we're worried about Thrawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we read Thrawn.
Yes.
And we're like, he is like a master, master, master. I mean, as like Rebels, I think, portrayed him like that. But at the same time, I'm like, there's not enough of Thrawn because canon tells us that they should be shitting their pants right now.
Yeah, accurate. As a slightly related but also sidebar to that, one of the things I really loved about the finale was having read Thrawn and then observing the interactions between Thrawn and Price and Azadi. And that was, like, really rewarding for people who have read the books. And it was really interesting. And listen, I know it's a kid's show, but I just, it just made me sit there and think, there's so much, like, delicious potential for just, like, all of them to be hating on each other. And I wanted more of that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah.
All right, Kristen, talk about clones.
Oh, I'm a huge clone stan, but I don't remember what episode we went off about it, but people who are talking about needing to finish the Clone Wars need to fucking take a chill pill and forget the past, kill it if you have to.
Oh my god, thank you. That's
like, it's fine. Everything's fine. we're like exploring new avenues. We've picked up some of those like threads. We're not going to redo the prequels. Maybe they're going to redo the prequels. I hope they don't, because what the fuck?
I know.
They needed to be better originally. They don't need to be redone.
Yeah, and now they're just kind of like anyway. This cultural touch point where we can all just, you know, watch them and enjoy them for different reasons, but we'll enjoy them.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and you, for some reason, watch Rebels but never watched Clones, which would be weird.
People have.
If you do watch The Clone Wars, which I think is still on Netflix, even though they're supposed to take it off. Don't tell Disney that it's still up there. but I think it's all still up there. And if you watch it and then you watch the prequels, you're like, oh, I am so much more invested in this, and I get things, and they're still bad, and the acting is weird, but
yes,
like, you know, they make you care about trade wars in a way that you didn't think was possible, and like in a really fun, cool, interesting way, and you get more like Obi and Annie and Ahsoka and what's not to, and my beloved clone babies, which are my favorite. I love the clones so much. I think Jess, what's Jess? I don't know.
Space Jess with like
Space
five
Jess
S's.
With several S's. Yeah, sure. If you're on Star Wars Twitter, you've seen Space Jess. I think her What was her, what did she change her name to today?
It was like...
That was cracking me up so bad.
It was like, Jess loves Star Wars, go away.
Yeah, it was like, exactly.
Which is perfect. Like, same.
But she tweeted at me today that, like, her favorite part was, like, Hondo and the clones. And I was like, that's, like, same. Because I was so deeply invested in the Clone Wars. Like, I love those clone boys so much. And when they came back in Rebels, I was so happy. I mean, like, that's the kind of fan service I was looking for personally. But at the same time, I don't think that redeemed the storytelling. I was like, why couldn't... I mean, I actually loved the way they used a lot of the... Like, Filoni used a lot of those Clone Wars elements that he brought back. But I thought, you know, why use the some of the clone boys, like, later... in such a heavy way, but use Ahsoka in such a weird way.
Yeah, I feel
like... I wasn't sure, like, how he made those decisions, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of my frustration with Rebels, that's kind of only, you know, crystallized for me lately as I've been watching the back half of the season, is that, you know, there's that, fuck, what is it called? That idea, you know, kill your darlings. Filoni will not. Filoni refuses. Filoni will murder my space boyfriend and then just keep rescuing Ahsoka for the rest of his goddamn life. Which, sure, Jan. And, like, and if you've listened to any of our other episodes, I love Ahsoka. She is one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. I relate to her on a deep spiritual level. I need to get, like, a tattoo somehow related to her, like, somewhere on my person. Like, I love her. She's the character who really got me back into Star Wars after the trash fire of the prequels. Like, I love her. But oh my god, what the hell? Alright, so, our last major point before we talk about listener comments. So, and I think this is gonna be pretty quick. Where would like to see Star Wars Animation go next, especially because we know that they have trademarked Star Wars Resistance, and maybe that's going to be the next anime series. Who knows? Maybe they just trademarked it so no one else would. But, yeah, where do you want to see this going next, y'all? And Kiki, I know you had a lot of feelings, so I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. I mean, just to kind of bring this back to stuff that we've talked about previously on this podcast, maybe not like super directly. I mean, we've obviously talked about representation in Star Wars a great amount, but we haven't necessarily talked a ton about like the Solo trailer and like what characters are going to be present in the film versus which characters are in the books versus other media. But my whole thing is like, I almost don't want there to be more cartoons, because Lucasfilm has such a fucking tendency to use them as a place to put like minorities, like women of color, people of color, queer people of color, queer people.
Totally.
Like there were like, you know, Sabine and what's Sabine's ex-girlfriend's name?
Ketsu, and of course Zeb and Kallus.
Yeah, exactly. All yes, all of us. All of us. And, you know, I mean, we talked about it a fair bit that, like, we get jazzed when we see those types of folks, those types of minorities represented well in books. And we also get really fucking frustrated when those types of minorities are not then represented on a larger scale, such as movies, which, you know, continue to be the main medium for Star Wars. So I kind of don't want Lucasfilm to again have this to hide behind and say, hey, no, we have the thing, we did the thing, we asked for the thing and we did it.
Yeah.
But also then I take a step back and I go, okay, yes, again, that is all valid, but this is not for me. And it is so fucking cool that kids get to see people of color and sort of non-traditional beings and kind of, you know, queer folk and queer beings and et cetera, in their cartoons. I think that's really, really cool. And I think that's really, really important. And I think for the kiddos, I would like to, you know, for their sake, I would love to see more Star Wars Animation, because, you know, after all, it is fake and it's face and it's for babies.
Absolutely. I think you can think both things at the same time. I totally agree with both of those parts of the argument. I think, and I also just want to add that I think that a lot of those issues you're pointing out, which are obviously super valid issues, but I think a lot of that will be helped by, you know, the franchise really embracing the fact that they are telling what is really a single cohesive story about the galaxy far, far away through all these different media. And if only they would actually allow all these things to cross over in a meaningful way, then, you know, we wouldn't have these fucking problems. Like, you know, we were really holding out hope that Thandi Newton in Solo, that her character would be Rae Sloane. That would be awesome. Not that I'm complaining about having another, you know, female character of color, but, there are just a lot of opportunities I feel like Lucasfilm is missing, and I want to see them take those chances and really reward fans like us who, you know, we consume pretty much everything.
Yeah, we can go ahead and plug Kate's article on 538, which we put up before we were part of Tashi Station, but it literally like talks about this. And it's also like before Rebels finished and blah blah blah, but we'll link to that, of course, in the description if you haven't had a chance to read that, and we'll tweet it out when we release this episode, because it literally is about this. And while we haven't, I mean, we've talked about it a fair amount, Kate does a really 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 good job of really summing things up and sort of talking about the opportunities that Lucasfilm really should take advantage of if they're really going to do what they say they're going to do. So
yes, but also to be fair, y'all helped a lot with that article, so I can't take full credit.
I know, but you're so good at writing.
I mean, Chris kind of wrote half of it, so whatever.
Thanks, Chris. You're good at writing.
I don't know. You're a part of it.
I'm a part of it. I did not write half of it. You wrote most of it.
All right, fine. Whatever. All right, fine. I can bask in this glory. That's fine. I'm totally comfortable with that.
Bask. Sorry. Thank you for letting me go on my Star Wars animation rant.
No, you're good. I have nothing to add.
No, that was perfect, honestly. I mean, I think the only thing that I personally would have to add, and I talked about this a little bit again on the Tashi Station reactions post, is that, you know, another thing that would really help, for the love of God, can we get diversity behind the camera? I want women in the writer's room. I want people of color in the writer's room for the next animated show, for the live action show, for the next series of movies that we have coming up. And I talk about this on a different post that I recently wrote for Tashi Station, just as part of a reaction to the hiring of Benioff and Weiss, which, oh God. But yeah, I think, I mean, I can hypothesize all kinds of crazy cool shit that I want them to do plot-wise and universe-wise in the next show, but it honestly, at the end of the day, it's still all going to feel frustrating to me in the same ways that, you know, Rebels feels frustrating to me if they don't get more diversity behind the camera, for the love of God.
Or behind the virtual pen in this case.
Totally.
Female animators, dope ass people.
Oh, you're so right about that. Yes, totally.
All right, so this episode's gone somewhat heavy, but we did get some social media questions from y'all about Rebels, so thank you very much for sending those. And I figure we can just go through them like pretty fairly rapid fire.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm gonna tick them off as I do. We got a question from Friend of the Pod at @SuarezSaleh1, who says, "I really, really wish it was mentioned that Sabine went back to save Mandalore while she was also on Lothal. What are your thoughts on how this aspect speaks to the show's treatment of women's storylines?" I mean, oh God, this, I think in terms of women's storylines in the show, I think Hera was done the greatest disservice, absolutely, not being allowed to be this fully three-dimensional character, because God forbid you have a woman who is a badass general, a mom, you know, a founder of the rebellion, and a romantic partner all at the same time. Instead of just outright saying that she and Kanan were, you know, soul bonded life partners and all that lovely romantic stuff, Filoni just really harped on that whole will they, won't they trope, such that, like, you know, we had people really questioning whether or not they were actually together. And obviously we learned from the finale that they were, and my read on it, at least, is that it's a kids show, so they didn't really want to focus on the romance aspect so much in the earlier seasons, but they were absolutely together, and they loved each other, and, you know, they were hashtag space married. And that's my greatest that's honestly one of my greatest frustrations with the show. I think Sabine got some better treatment, especially with the Darksaber arc and all of that, but I'm not sure. It's hard for me to think about Sabine in the finale and especially the epilogue and put it in terms of how they write women, mostly because we, of course, have that giant time skip between Ezra disappearing into the Great Yonder and Sabine narrating the epilogue. And we don't know what happens in that space. And there's not really a lot of room to talk about that because, again, it's Ezra's story. So would I love to have Sabine go back to Mandalore and deal with shit? Absolutely. And I really hope we get that in some other medium. But there wasn't really a lot of room to talk about that, honestly, in the finale, personally.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I didn't get this comment. Swara, you know I love you. I would like to know more about what your thinking was, because I have had issues with the way women are written in this show. I didn't get that from the finale. That was just me, though.
Yeah, and I thought Sabine's treatment was particularly good for a queer woman. I shouldn't have to say that, but...
Yeah.
One thing I want, just to jump very quickly back to the previous one, I want not just coded characters.
Yes!
I want it, because we don't know that Sabine's a queer woman, to be honest.
She's just coded as such.
She's coded as a queer woman. Like, she and Ketsu are coded as being exes, but we don't know that. It's not mentioned.
Right. I mean, and it gets weird because, like, the title where Ketsu is introduced is called Blood Sisters, and it's like... Like, is it, like, sisters, like in Rent, where they're just, like, we're sisters and they're just making out? Or, like, actually feeling, like, familial bonds? Like, it's just,
Yeah, it's not clear.
It's dumb.
Anyway, that was a tangent.
No, thank you for bringing that up, Chris, because I totally didn't call Lucasfilm out for doing that shit.
I mean, Keeks, neither of us did.
So, thank you for...
Querios.
Yeah, I forgot to do it.
We are the best.
Because just in my mind, they are queer.
You're the best Querios.
I know. We are so good at it.
Oh, my God. All right. So the next question from Austin D. Eduardo. How do you feel about Ahsoka being alive during the original trilogy? And what do you think her role was during this time?
This made me really mad. Go. Like, not really mad. It's Star Wars. Nothing makes me really mad.
I just, like, broke the thing, so just talk some more.
But to me, it is a major problem that Ahsoka, the apprentice of Anakin Skywalker, was alive during a time when Anakin Skywalker's son was alive and helping the rebellion, and she didn't join them.
And daughter.
Although that was less common knowledge during the rebellion.
But fuck it.
But it's... That is a... To me, that is a huge plot hole that needs to... And, like, I hate the term plot hole because people just use plot hole for things that they don't like. But, like...
No, but this is actually a plot hole.
To me, this is an actual plot hole that Lucasfilm needs to find its way out of. And I'm sure that they have a vision for how they're going to find their way out of it. Because, you know, they do everything, like, 5 years in advance. Like, they should, because storytelling. Like, because plotting a universe. But, like, to me, that was... It was very frustrating to me.
Absolutely. And especially because, you know, after all the character development we get from Ahsoka out of the Clone Wars and the Ahsoka novel and her involvement as Fulcrum in Rebels, like, how had you justify Ahsoka just standing by and doing nothing? Like, she was out in the fucking netherworld somewhere becoming Gandalf and not getting involved. And it's just like, what the hell is this, man? Like, I mean, just why, you know?
Yeah, I love Ahsoka. Why? Where is she? Where did you go?
I know. I love her dearly, and I don't enjoy what they've done with her in these past few episodes. But whatever.
Yeah, I just don't understand what her point is anymore.
Right.
Like I don't understand what the point of the World Between Worlds episode was, if not to bring her back at the end to help Lothal, and they didn't do that.
I thought that's
what they were setting it up for, and I was totally fine with that. Like, I thought that they were establishing that she was alive so that she could come to the rescue at the end.
And then die.
And then I thought she was going to die. Either die or go into the Unknown Regions with Ezra.
Yeah. That would have
been I never thought Filoni was actually going to kill her.
Or, like, get, like, absorbed into the Force or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But, so that was just frustrating to me.
Sure. All right, last question is from a friend of the pod at Celestial Intent, long-time listener. So Arjuna says, okay, first I have to answer the very important question because I promised her I would lay out my headcanon timeline. When do you think Hera and Kanan boned? And then she goes, listen, we've known for a long time that Kanan fucks, but the timing and implications of the kiss from the first half of the season made it seem like that was a first, and then she got captured right after... What the fuck? And she goes, when did they bone? Do I have to deal with another Force Ghost sex theory? Because, I mean, that's just gross. I'm not having a good time with ghost sex. That's just weird. So my personal headcanon is that while we were all joking during Twin Suns, they're like, ooh, Ezra goes to find Kanan his monkey. He's not there. What's he doing, guys? No, but actually, I think that's when they boned. Because... when that happens towards the ends of season 3 and season 4 happens very, very closely after the Battle of Adalon. And I'm reading that because when we start season 4, Kanan is on Mandalore and he hasn't been to Yavin yet. So, yeah, I think that's when they boned. And then, like, I don't know what the time period is like for season 4, but it's gotta be... I want to estimate that it's about 2 months, and at that point you super know you're pregnant, so I mean, obviously I don't know anything about Twilight biology or gestation periods or anything, but that's, you know, I mean, Star Wars tends to kind of err on the side that humanoid aliens are closer to humans than weird fuck shit that we can't really envision in our minds. So anyway... Assuming all that, I think they boned during Twin Suns. And, again, I think that the appearance of Jacen kind of reframes everything for me. I don't think that Kindred is the first time they kissed. I don't think anymore that, Jedi Knight is the first time that Hera said, I love you. It just, for me as a married person, and, you know, you can at me about this, on Twitter or whatever, if you want me to explain more. For me as a married person, having Jacen in the picture reframes everything, and having, I think I've said before, just having Kanan and Hera very close to my heart because their relationship kind of echoes my marriage in very eerie ways. Like, this is kind of how I'm reading that sort of thing now. And then Adriana says, now that we know most of these characters are still alive, do you think they should be introduced or at least acknowledged in the movies? There's a disconnect here when only one media is working to create connections to other content. Abso-fucking-lutely, I think should be acknowledged in the movies. For the love of God, I'm so... Yeah, Rogue One, where it's just like, here's the ghost in the background, here's Chopper in the background, and here's Van Marshall allegedly doing, like, extra voices in the background, but you can't actually pick out Hera talking, like... Ugh, that drove me insane.
Yeah, but they won't.
I know, but the question is, should they? And yes, absolutely, they should.
I think they should. I mean, I think we've talked at length about how we want there to be more crossover between the movies and the books and the TV show to make it a truly integrated universe, but they won't. At least not these characters from this show.
And I fucking hate it.
If they were going to, they would have been Last Jedi.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying that they're going to such lengths to... kind of try to keep things so neat and tidy canon wise but then they're not crossing over into like the most, I shouldn't say the most important medium, but the medium that more people to see than anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, what the damn hell's the point of having the story group if you're not gonna actually take advantage of the fucking story group?
It's called the story group, not the movie group, okay?
Makes you right.
And on that note, I think we can end it there.
Oh, no.
So anyway, thank you for listening to this very special bonus episode of the Book Wars Pod. Assuming this gets released this week, our next episode is going to be our Phasma wrap-up, releasing next Tuesday. Or this Tuesday. Whatever Tuesday.
But if it's not, then...
But if it's not, it'll be Aftermath.
Yes. And, Chris, do you remember what the first set of chapters is that we're reading on that one?
Oh, it's through the interlude before Chapter 9, I think. On, like, through the interlude on Nalal.
All right. Cool.
Anyway.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. Good job, Chris.
So anyway, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, all Book Wars Pod at all of those. As you can see, we take questions. We want to interact with you, so hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at bookwarspod@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to both us and the Tosche Station Radio Mega Feed on iTunes, on Google Play, and on Stitcher. And donate to the Tosche Station Radio Patreon. It helps us cover our hosting and production costs for the show and helps support great Star Wars podcasting and reporting. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joe Butera Design. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Book Wars Pod, and we'll talk to you next week.
Me and Kate are going to go talk about the baby now. Chris, speak into the microphone.
Sorry, I was slouching.
I can totally tell.